Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined again for another journey into the world of culture and theology and all of that. Of course, I'm talking about my good old friend and brother-in-arms, Scott Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And you are you. We're so glad that you're joining us today, whether you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or through the Wrath and Grace Universe app or on the ABWE website or one of our viewers on NRB TV or on YouTube. And there's just so many places, Scott, that we can be found now. There's no hiding now. We're out there and coming to you with another important discussion. Now, Scott, something that's come up a lot lately online and offline as well is there's a vibe shift. There's a shift in culture. It's political, but it's also spiritual. There's a lot of different dimensions to it. And I really do think that we're seeing generational level change in how people think. Again, not just about aspects of society, like who we vote for, but then also what do we believe about the unseen, about the transcendent? And it seems increasingly like there's among the younger cohort a new openness to spirituality, potentially to Christianity, sometimes to older, more traditional forms of Christianity, not kind of what big box evangelicalism has marketed to the younger cohort for so long. Mm-hmm. And as we kind of head into today's discussion, Scott, What's your front row seat perspective on that? You're across the street from a college campus. You're doing campus ministry. You have Gen Z students, both in your family and then in your church as well. You're ministering to different groups. So what do you see? Do you see a changing of the tide as far as interest in spiritual things?
Yeah, it's a great question. And something's happening. I'm not always sure what is happening. It's interesting because on social media, depending on what bubble you're swimming in, you know, you've got the Mormons acting like everyone's becoming Mormon. The Orthodox are saying everyone's becoming Orthodox. Catholics are saying the same. And here I'm going, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've got more young people coming to my church than I've ever had. Yeah. And so you wonder, like, how much of it is just the bubble I'm swimming in? But I do think that we are reaching an end in which secularism has had its day and it's not really produced anything. And young people are going, well, what about this? And so, so getting beyond the vibes, because vibes are just feelings and emotions, right? Yeah. And let's get into the data and find out what's going on. So we have the right person to help us get beyond the vibes and into the data. And that is Dr. Adam Rasmussen from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. He's a fellow there. And we are so thankful to have you on our show and kind of dive into some of the studies that have just been done, because Barna and CRC Research just did a survey on faith and culture. And we're really glad to welcome you to our show to help us kind of dive into that and interpret some of this data that's come across that helps us determine what's a vibe and what's a trend. So, Adam, welcome to our show.
Alex, Scott, thank you so much for having me on your show. Yeah, I mean, some of these things we kind of feel in our gut, but it's good to look at the numbers. And just going off of what you were talking about regarding an openness to the gospel, I can turn to the American Bible Society. They pointed out to us last year in 2024, Bible sales, print Bible sales were up 22%. Mm-hmm. And all other print media remained flat. And as you were mentioning, sometimes we see some of these things changing among the young men, and it's very interesting. Also, I studied Francis Schaeffer at LaBrie. That's what I did my PhD on. And one of the things he did is he leveraged doubt. So doubt and faith are very closely related, and it's very interesting to watch the statistics. That's the thing about measurements, about averages. They change. God's word does not. But back to doubt. And people exploring the faith, we found that those who say that they are doubters, we call them the don'ts. They don't believe God exists. They don't know if God exists, or they don't care. Okay, that number seems to be growing. However, when they're pressed, 34% are completely open to credible and persuasive evidence. And then 38% say they might be open to trusted peer-based explanations. So there, as Jesus said, the fields are wide unto harvest. We have to be out there calling people of all nations to follow Jesus. And here in America, too.
I think one of the things we're seeing as we transition from secularism as dominant to whatever this new period is that we're entering into is that there was generations, I think the new atheists and that movement was a part of this, but people who had imbibed all of the assumptions of modernity, of naturalistic materialism, and because of that, they had considered and ruled out the claims of Christianity. Now that the bottom has kind of come out from all of those assumptions, what I'm seeing, and anecdotally, but also I think maybe the data bears this out, and you can speak to this, what you have in the younger generation is that they're no longer taking all of that for granted. And so it's no longer, well, I've heard of Christianity and I've already made up my mind about it. For some of them, they're considering something that in some ways is foreign, but for the first time they're open to, and they're discovering it certainly has incredible explanatory power over the world that we live in. Does that match at all what you'd see in your studies?
Well, the idea, Alex, that we can come up with meaning and purpose on our own falls flat. It just doesn't work. People's emotions can be a resource of decisions, but it's not a good resource of decisions. Jesus said that his word is a solid rock on which we can build our lives. And if we don't, we're building on sand. So as the young people are trying to work out these equations, the overwhelming burden comes down on them. Like, I cannot define myself. Those things are given to me by a culture, but even more than that, by an unchanging God, my creator. So some people call it the test of existential repugnance, meaning, can I live with this? Is this livable? And when we reject basic things like we're made in the image of God or we're made male and female, when we reject the basics, we're going to have a real big problem. So I think young people are trying to live in this world, and this world is God's world. And in order to understand how to live in this world, we have to have God's view of the world. So my view, my subjective view, will not translate. It will not give the answers I need. I need something revealed to me. And the Bible is a really, really good place to go because it doesn't change. And it's divine. So everything that you're saying there is what we would expect through generations. We've seen this happen time and again, where people, they go to broken cisterns that can hold no water. They have to return to the ancient paths. They have to return to the living God.
So as you're going through this data, and obviously there's a lot there, what are some of the things that just stood out to you as just kind of the most, oh, I didn't expect to see that?
Well, the report that we're looking at here is the first one we gave, and it was in January of 2025. Your viewers and listeners can find all of this research for free at culturalresearchcenter.com. It's part of Arizona Christian University. And one of the things that we've noticed that we think is going to continue is just a problem with mental health. Mental health issues are going to continue to escalate. This kind of piggybacks on what Alex was talking about. As people kind of run out of gas on finding answers on their own, we see that there's a rise, an uptick in anxiety, depression, fear, suicidal thoughts.
Right.
So we had a very interesting discovery in September of 2024, and we were able to correlate anxiety, depression, fear, suicidal thoughts in a moderate to strong correlation, that the greater your biblical worldview, the lower your incidence of anxiety, depression, fear, suicidal thoughts. The reverse is true. If you have a lower biblical worldview, you're going to have more of these things. And I know that's kind of common sense, but we've actually got the data to support that. So bottom line, the biblical worldview helps with mental health. And unfortunately, the more mental health answers move away from scripture and they move more towards different basis for helping people, they're going to miss this huge aspect of helping people, which is that they understand that they're made by God, they're individuals who are loved by him, that Jesus came to restore them to life, that increases just wonderful mental health things. That was a huge surprise for me.
In the missions world, when the gospel goes forward into foreign contexts, we talk about this danger of syncretism all the time. And we see it all over the world where the Christian faith combines with whatever the local tribal religion or tradition is. And what you end up with is a Frankenstein monster of a combination of conflicting worldviews. And it's one of the oldest ploys in the enemy's book as far as corrupting people from the purity of the gospel. What do you see happening in our culture? Yes, there's more openness, but it's not just openness towards the biblical worldview or various articulations of the Christian faith, regardless of denomination or tradition. We're talking about openness to all sorts of things spiritually. Where do you see syncretizing taking place now in our culture? And how are people redefining concepts even as basic as God himself?
We have all kinds of information, including how many Americans believe in the Trinity? How many self-identified Christians believe in the Trinity? A very basic, very important doctrine. And this idea of syncretism that we do see in different cultures is like kudzu here in America. It has spread everywhere. And, you know, here's some numbers. 66% of Americans would self-identify as Christian. Okay. But only 4% have an integrated biblical worldview, a Genesis to Revelation understanding of God and the basic doctrines. So there's a huge difference between cultural Christianity and what the Bible teaches. So we've exposed that. And like you were saying, people like to mix and match from conflicting worldviews, and it's this mishmash of syncretism. And at our numbers, we see 92% of Americans are syncretists. And we see that number climbing because we're a country of religious freedom, which is an excellent thing. However, people are not actually thinking through those things. They're more emoting their way or they're following like lemmings. And they need a teacher. They need teachers. They need mentors who are grounded in scripture. So syncretism is multiplying and will continue to multiply even in churches. The more we get away from the Bible, the more people are going to have things glom on to their worldview from the world. And that's what's happening.
Scott, one of the things I was reflecting upon as Adam answered that is, you know, the fact that we have religious freedom in America, we tend to internalize that external value, that system of societal ordering and structure. We internalize that. We turn that into religious liberty at the internal level of religious license, of total free religious expression. And so you have so many people that are hostile to things like the church. And yet, Scott, you know, the importance of the local church is the other thing here that we need to talk about. Not just are you friendly towards the creeds and ideas of Christianity, but are you actually friendly towards that local assembly and being there? And I know, Scott, that's important to you and I as churchmen, first and foremost.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think that's been brought up a lot is just like how much teaching, quote unquote, is out there on social media led by people who are not qualified to be teachers of anything. They're just good at talking into a camera, you know, or they're good at the tech aspect and making, you know, I mean, you know, a guy like Mr. Beast has figured out how to get people to click on his shows, right? And he studied hours and hours of thumbnails to figure out how to get people to click. Well, you don't have to have a lot to say if you're good at just getting people to click. And this is the challenge, right, of getting people to say, hey, you know what? Settle down in a local church with a pastor who loves God's word, has been ordained into the ministry, and that you see his life and character as well. And getting people grounded in that, that's obviously a challenge. And as good as, you know, media is in getting our word out, we just did a show recently on the power of visual media. Getting people to sit down in a church and be committed to a group of believers and learn is so crucial and difficult. So obviously local church membership matters for all the reasons we just were talking about. So as you're looking at the data, what do these worldview shifts mean for the health and the future of the local church as you see it?
Well, we saw a major dip happen during the COVID stretch. And you probably have visited this on your show already. Our numbers show that there was a 33% decline in biblical worldview incidents in just 18 months. So as people were scared to meet with each other or even forbidden to meet in some places, this really took a toll on the young people, on the families, on the elderly, as they were not meeting together regularly as church members. You might think, well, they would have more time to devote to personal prayer and Bible study and those things. That did not take effect. So we went from 6% of adults in America having an integrated biblical worldview down 33% to only 4% now. And that number has stayed. So what we're seeing is that organized Christianity has taken a hit. As we were talking before, any authority structure, whether it's the family, the pulpit, the church, schooling, the government, people just are very wary of that. So what we need to do as a church is to continue to reach out in relationships, and we have to be serious about our value proposition, which is different from the rest of the world, which is the gospel. We need to make sure that we're on about the gospel. So the three questions I try to have with my students while they're here at Arizona Christian University is, number one, what is the gospel? Number two, how does the gospel relate to the whole Bible? And number three, how does the gospel relate to the whole world? How does the Bible relate to the whole world? So that's what you're doing on your missions podcast, is we're bringing the good news of Jesus to the whole person, to the whole world. And that's what we do differently than the world. Let's just stay with that. And over time, through those relationships, through everything that we're on about mission, then the vision happens, which is that we live together under the Lordship of Christ forever. That's where we're headed. And we tend to forget the forever part. We're always about the here and now. And Jesus, as much as I could see, was very much talking about what we do now impacts eternity. So if we can get our eyes on the prize, which is living with Jesus forever and ever, let's win people to that argument and to that trend. Sometimes churches are very focused on the here and now, certain numbers like nickels and noses. And, you know, what this program is doing, not your program, but I mean, in a church, like, what are we doing? What can we measure here instead of looking for growth in discipleship? Just one other analogy real quick. Is if you remember back in Judges, God said, you have too many for me to deliver you from the Midianites, he said to Gideon. And he whittled them down to 300. So sometimes God is in the pruning business too, that we would be more fruitful. So we want to be about the gospel. And sometimes some of these numbers that we look at, we always have to square, like, what does it say in scripture? And what is God by his spirit doing? And unfortunately, churches have been, I think they've been distracted. They need to come back to some of the basics. It's just like they say in football, right? That good old speech, this is a football. We have to come back to the basics.
Hey, listeners, we know you believe in missions. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to or watching this show. But have you ever wondered what your next step with the Great Commission should be? Maybe the Lord is leading you to serve somewhere yourself. Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a part of sending someone from out of your own church. Well, wherever you are with missions, if you're ready to get serious and find what your next step is, ABWE's 24-hour demo event is for you. Now, it's great to listen to a podcast about missions, but there's nothing that beats the in-person fellowship that can only take place face-to-face, where you're alongside other people that are in your similar station of life, thinking and praying together about your next steps. So if you want to join us at our next event, they happen all throughout the year at our Harrisburg, Pennsylvania-based international headquarters. You can go to demo.abwe.org. Again, that's demo.abwe.org, and use the promo code podcast for a discount on your registration fee. So it takes all excuses away. What are you waiting for? Come find your next step with the Great Commission at demo.abwe.org, promo code podcast. Now back to the show.
If I can just follow up on that for a second. Does the data show anything that you might look at as, hey, this is a leading indicator of, like, is church attendance, do you think it's going up again? Do you think it's continuing to decline? Do you see a difference between men and women coming? Just anecdotally, and I've seen it in a lot on social media being talked about, but it seems like a lot of young men are coming to church. We do a worship night for college students once a month, and I'm shocked that it's about 50-50 attendance. I've got more young men coming to church than I have young women, and I've been in ministry for almost 25 years. I've never seen that before. Are you seeing anything in the data that backs that up?
I don't have those numbers right here before me today, but we do have data based on the demographics on almost every report that we give every month. And I am hearing the same thing. I'm hearing stories like that. And if you remember back into the late 1990s with the Promise Keepers movement, and I was with Dr. Kent Hughes with Disciplines of a Godly Man. I'm sure you guys mm-hmm. have heard of that book. Yeah. And calling men to do what only men can do, which is to be fathers and husbands, be leaders in their churches and in their communities. And inevitably, when we look at all of the problems, the societal ills that we see like 42% of children are born out of wedlock right now. 22% of viable pregnancies end in abortion. When we see these things, these physical things are the symptoms of a spiritual problem, the spiritual problem. And when men will say, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to be the kind of man he wants me to be, that helps everyone. And maybe that's happening in our days right now. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Mm.
I want to bring this to kind of a question that we sort of hinted at the opening, but let's bring it full circle. There's undeniably a cultural shift or a vibe shift. You know, the sensation feels different. And I think the question is, what does that really mean? Are we witnessing revival? Are we witnessing the type of reformation of society that can endure? Or is it only a vibe shift, a flash in the pan, as it were? What do you see? And Adam, what gives you hope? Because I'll tell you, one challenge that I'm sensing for especially pastors, but I'd say pastors, church planters, missionaries, anybody who's trying to be at all outward with their faith in advancing the gospel in a culture like ours here in the U.S., there's an opportunity. Can you ride the wave? Can you capitalize upon the shift in sentiment to press in more deeply and to sort of say, you know, it's sort of like the executive orders. It's like, it's not enough to just have an idea and make a statement. You have to follow through on that in the legislature, essentially, by comparison. It's not enough to just feel different. You have to actually close with Christ. You know, as the old evangelists would say, you have to truly submit to him in order for this to be enduring. So there's a challenge for us, but also there has to be something that's giving you hope as well. So where are we really at in terms of revival, in terms of reformation, whatever you make of terms like that? And what gives you hope, Adam?
Oh, I love that question, Alex. And I do have hope. When we look at what happened in the Renaissance, for example, and then what followed through the Reformation, they were coming back to the sources, ad fonts. They were going back to the sources, and Erasmus started looking at the Greek and the Hebrew, and then Luther wrote that, and then Melanchthon and Calvin and so on and so forth. So there are these, and throw the printing press in there, okay? And I mean, today, AI can be used by missionaries to help with Bible translation. There are things that are happening at the nexus or the milieu of this time, brothers and sisters listening. This is our time. And like that, it's going to be over. So we have to capitalize on what God is giving us now. And the question is it a flash in the pan? I do not look for salvation from Washington, D.C. I don't look at it from my entertainers. I don't get my politics or my theology from those that are on TV, okay? I get that from my pastor and from my brothers and sisters here. But I do know this. Our job doesn't change. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. We want to look at these statistics. We want to be wise. We want to make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. But the message of truth and love that Jesus proclaimed with his very life are the very model and power for Christian living, Jesus. And historically speaking, when Christians have returned to Jesus and living out that biblical perspective in their everyday life, when Christians do that, God changes the culture by changing the church. So when the church is serious about following God, we see this at specific times in the early church, in the Middle Ages, again through the Great Awakening movements of the 1730s and 1800s, late 1800s, early 1970s. And these are benefits for all people, not just for Christians, for society as a whole. There are sweeping reforms that happen in education, in medicine, in law. It happens time and again. Why? Because our Creator loves us. He gave us His word so we know how to flourish. When we move away from that in any generation, we're going to have all of these problems. But when we return, you and I and those that we can influence, when we return, that benefits us and all people. And that's the gospel, and that's the worldview that we're trying to promote.
Beautiful. How can people find out more about you, other projects you're working on, and also the center you're working at?
Yes, I'm the dean of the College of Arts and Humanities at Arizona Christian University. We are not affiliated with any church or denomination, although we would say that we are conservative culturally and theologically. And, you know, they can find my email. I'd love to interact with you. But also culturalresearchcenter.com. Culturalresearchcenter.com has all kinds of studies going back 5 years. It's all searchable. It's all free. And we're here to serve you and the church.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And we want to hear from you. You can email the show, alex@missionspodcast.com is how you can get a hold of me. You can also get a hold of Scott, scott@missionspodcast.com. Let us know what you really think in your review and rating of this show and your podcast platform of choice, or in the YouTube comment section below. Now, we really do want to hear from you, but if you're leaving a review, just make sure that your real opinion is left with a 5-star review, just because that'll help other people get a hold of this content as well. And maybe we can shift the vibe even further by content like this spreading to the ends of the earth. But we appreciate you being a part of the show today, Adam, and we appreciate you joining us as well. For our listening family, stay tuned for our overtime segment. If you're one of our premium subscribers at missionspodcast.com/premium, we're going to dive in deeper on what practically, in light of all of the cultural factors, pastors, churches, church leaders, missionaries, church planters can do differently to seize the moment. Because we have to act, and we have to be aware. We have to be like sons of Issachar, knowing the times, understanding the seasons. And so we're going to talk more about that for our premium subscriber family. If you're not yet a member of that club, join us. For your gift of $9.99 per month, you'll get access to our bonus show. If you're in Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to the bonus show directly within your Apple Podcasts app without even having to go to missionspodcast.com/premium. But you can get more content there on our website as well. You can learn more about ABWE and how you can play your role in the Great Commission at abwe.org. And until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations.